Papa, thank you. Thank you that you delight to meet with us. Thank you that you're such a good God. We love your presence. We love what it means to be with you, to love you, to know you, and to have you here with us, and we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Oh, speak to our hearts this morning, and I thank you for what you want to do in the remainder of this service. We thank you for that, Jesus. Amen. If you're here as a guest this morning, we've started doing a series on values. And values are like the river in your life, if you like. They're the current that will take you different places. And sometimes we're not even sure why. Who has ended up in a situation, or maybe you're even in the situation, where you go along to work and it feels like you are trying to swim upstream all the time? Yeah, I heard some noises. Didn't see any hands, but I heard some noises that told me, yes, that some of you are in a situation where you go into work and it's like you can feel the culture of work flowing one way and it's like, Lord, that's not where I want to go. Because as believers, we have a different set of values. We have a kingdom culture. And the more that we understand that, and the more we understand who God has made us to be, the more we can be in sync with who God has made us to be. So when it comes to values, that way. Okay, I'm going to have to do it that way. Okay. The values we embrace determine the life we will live. I know stories of people who have decided they've gone through school and it's like, I'm going to get a job in this field. It will be really good to have a job in that. It's good pay. But when you sit down with them and you start to uncover, who are you? What do you value? They suddenly realize, I don't want to do that. That's not who I am. Do you know that over 80% of university graduates after 5 years are in a profession totally unrelated to their degree? That's huge. See, most people aren't in tune with their heart because most of us have gone through a system that gets us to relate to our brain, but not be in tune with our heart. But God wants us in tune with our heart. He wants us in tune with who he made us to be, who we're meant to be. So I'm hoping that as we go through this series, that you'll start to look at who you are. We're going through the core values of pursuit, and some of them will go through and you'll go, yes, I agree with that 100%. Other ones you'll go through and go, yeah, I guess so. And that's okay. See, your values help define who you are. Ray values music. He loves music. It's no surprise, right? Because that's who God made him to be. So what is it that you value? Do you know your core values? The sheet that I handed out last week, if you weren't here and would like a copy of it, it's got nearly 400 values on it. That's a lot to work through. But I encourage you to go through and then start to group them and say, okay, what is it that I really value? There'll be some other values that are, yeah, take it or leave it. But But your core values are the things that you will fight to protect. Well, this morning I want to just send a couple of definitions your way, because sometimes we can throw around words like values, culture. What do we actually mean by that? So let's just start by a couple of definitions and then we'll go from there. Okay, culture is the composite of our values, priorities, and practices, along with our traditions, symbols, and expressions. If you think of the culture that you were raised in, if you think of the culture that maybe you've gone into different churches, some churches you go into and everyone's in robes, and it's a very set program. They have a different culture from what we have. Okay, so that's culture. Well, what about values? Values are the important and lasting beliefs or ideals shared by the members of a culture. Excuse me. The almost indefinable basis by which we judge the relative worth of one thing compared to another. We do that all the time. We judge, do we want that? Is that important? Or is this important? How you spend the rest of your day today will largely be a value decision. You've got work tomorrow. What are you going to do with the rest of a Sunday? Good question. When you start to look at it, you'll start to see some of the values that you hold. Will you go and spend time with relatives? Will you spend time with the kids? Will you go and just have some time out for yourself? Will you go and you catch up on things ready for the week? Our culture or values is like a river, and many times we just jump in an inner tube and we float down the river. So it's a good question to ask. Do I want to go where the river is taking me? So culture, values. Finishing off, the values determine the flavour, style, the how and the why of what you're doing. It's Michael Brodeur. Will Mancini says, values are the shared convictions that guide the actions and reveal the strengths of a church. In this church, we will spend close to an hour singing and worshipping. Other churches you go to, they will spend 20 minutes. It's not a case of one being right and one being wrong. They are both anchored in the values that are in that particular church. If you go to a church that sings for 20 minutes and you ask them why, what they will start to do is they will start to uncover the values that they have that determine how they spend their time in that meeting. So values are kind of, I mentioned last time, they're like a roadway. Most of us don't drive down the middle of the road, correct? Correct, good, I'm glad to know that. Most of us drive on the left-hand side. Last week when I mentioned this example, we actually had an American and she understood perfectly about driving on the right-hand side of the road, because that's what you do in America. So we tend to either drive on the right or on the left. And when it comes to values, we have this continuum. So when it says, you know, well, I value family. Yes, but do you kind of value family, or is family a core value? What about honor? What about worship? All these things, they're on a continuum for us. And many times we have values that actually act as a counterbalance to some of the values that we have. Like I shared, that worship in the church here is also counterbalanced by honor. Honoring guests, honoring people, honoring time. We could have kept worshiping this morning, but we're assuming that come 12 o'clock you will want to go home. Now Ray, once he gets into worship, he can worship for 3 hours. So we have to balance our desire for worship and our desire to be in the presence of God with the fact that most people want to go home for lunch. I didn't even see any nods. I didn't even hear one amen for that. John gave me one, yes. So I assume, you know, 1:30, if we're still worshipping, most of you will be thinking, when is this going to finish? So I mentioned last week, and in fact I gave you a couple of pictures last week. And one of them is the fact that an emphasis taken to extremes becomes an error. And this is why we need different values. Because sadly, some people have emphasized something so much that they've ended up in the ditch. God doesn't want us in the ditch. He wants us to be able to drive along the road, the freeway, whatever, and get somewhere without being in an extreme. An emphasis is knowing what side of the road is that you are meant to be on. But taking it to an extreme will put you in a ditch. So as we go through and we have a look at the values that we have as pursuit, we're going to look at each one of these values. And we're going to talk about what it means, but we're also going to talk about the ditch. And we're also going to talk about the extremes and how to make sure that we don't end up in a ditch. Okay, so we're going to jump in. We'll read very quickly through our values as pursuit. Number one is valuing his presence. 2, believing in his goodness, declaring his word, living under grace, guided by the Spirit, extending the kingdom, serving people, releasing honor. Those are our core values. There's other values that we have, like family. If you've been at this church, you'll start to pick up that we value family. We treat church as a family. Another one is authenticity. We tend to be real around here. We're not trying to put on a show. So that is another value. So our list of values can be long, but when you bring it back to your core values, that's important. It starts to give you something that you can get a handle on. So let's jump in. We're going to have a look at the first one. Valuing his presence. What does that mean? Well, number one, it's an awareness that God wants to meet with us. I don't know about you, but that amazes me. See, church is, yes, meeting with one another, but it's also coming with this awareness that says God wants to be here and he wants to touch people's lives. And when we come together, this is an amazing place where we enter into a degree of presence that God wants us to experience, where he draws close. See, God likes to spend time with you. For some people, that's a surprise. But right from the Garden of Eden, God has been spending time walking with people, listening to people, loving on people. He wants to be with you. That's who he is. See, Secondly, his presence is everywhere, but it can be experienced in increased measures. The psalm says, "Where can I go that you're not there?" So there's no place where God isn't. He's everywhere. But we can experience him in increased measures. So there's times when it's like, oh, wow, God's presence is here. And that's awesome when you experience that. I mean, he's already been here, and he always will be here. But there are times when he draws close and you become aware of his presence. And people talk about the glory. The glory is actually the weight of God's presence. And there's times when we come and it's our heart cry, God, we want to meet with you. We want to leave this place knowing that we met with you. But he's inside each and every one of us. And yet we can meet with him. So when we talk about valuing the presence, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about coming together and not just having a nice meeting. We're talking about coming together and coming to a place where we go, wow, God is here. That's what we're after. Happens different times, different places. Who's found out God's not predictable? So we can't come up with a formula when we do this and do that, God will show up. No. It's a case of following him. It's a case of being sensitive to him. It's a case of going after the presence of God. And there's times on a Sunday when you'll see Ray and I and we'll talk. We'll say, okay, what are you sensing to do? Do we carry on with worship? So like even this morning, Ray and I were talking. And I was saying, okay, do you want me to go out and take the kids first and you take this further? What are we doing here? What's the Holy Spirit wanting? How do we flow with this? And that's something that we're constantly doing throughout the meeting. We're wanting to sense where the flow is. And I think that's my next. I think it might be my last one. We'll leave it on that one. I'll come back to that. We want to be conscious of what Holy Spirit is doing in a meeting. There was a time there when Ray said, just sit down. And there was a very gentle move of the Spirit in the meeting. And as we start to sense what he's doing, we can start to flow better with what he's doing. Does that make sense? And many times that means that we've got to be prepared to not know what we're doing. And be prepared to say, okay, Holy Spirit, not sure where to go next. Do we go this way? Do we go that way? That's part of the fun of following the Holy Spirit. That's part of the fun of being people who love his presence. Next thing that I've put up there for you is intimacy with God is available to every believer. It's not reserved for a special few. God wants to talk to every one of us. We can hear his voice. He wants to talk to us. Prayer isn't just us giving God a shopping list. So I want this, 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 thank you. Oh, better sign it off in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer is a communication with God. God is so special that we put a special name on talking to him. That name is prayer. But God wants to have a conversation with you. So we will do things in our meeting. Like I will say, okay, make sure you've got pad and pen. Ask Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you saying right now? And we'll get you to write it down. Why? Because we expect that you will be able to hear God's voice. Because he wants to talk to you. Good place to nod. Worship is loving on God. You know, we have this funny concept of worship. We think worship is the slow, sweet song that you sing after all the happy, clappy songs. We have praise and we have worship. Okay, praise is the fast songs, worship is the slow songs. It's a bit sad that we put that title on it because that's what brings that understanding. But worship is so much more than singing. Worship is simply us turning our heart to God. Worship is us loving God. Worship is doing something like picking up a tea towel and drying some dishes because you are expressing your love for God and love for others. That too is worship. That's why the Bible talks about giving our bodies as an expression of worship. When you go to work tomorrow morning, you are actually going to worship. I'm letting that one sink in for you. See, most of you think, I'm going to work. And worship is something that I do on Sundays. No, you are going to worship tomorrow. Because the Bible says, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. And the moment you start to see your work as worship, it will change your work. It will change who you are at work. It will change your attitude. Why? Because you've changed your values. People will notice a difference. They will feel something on you. They will feel that you are communicating with a God who is with you. You didn't leave him in church on Sunday, but you took him to work on Monday. Worship is simply loving God. So I want you right now just to turn your affection to the Lord. Just start thinking of him. Right now, you are worshipping. And if we kept going, you would find that you want to speak, you want to say something. And if we kept going long enough, you'd probably want to do something. Worship comes from the heart, not the keyboard. Not the musos, not a CD or MP3. Worship comes from the heart. And to be a people of presence is to be a people who know what it is to turn our heart and to keep turning our heart to the Lord. Finally, our words create the atmosphere that God fills. Anybody feel a change in the atmosphere? I don't know whether you're aware of it or not, but when I started to get you to simply focus on the Lord, we started to shift atmospheres. So you have the ability to shift atmospheres at your work. But you need to know how to be a worshipper. You need to know how to turn your heart to the Lord. And once we learn to do that, and we also learn that we have the authority to create our world with our words. It's why the Bible says that God's enthroned on our praises. That's why when you read in Ephesians 5, it says, be filled with the Spirit by, anybody know? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's why we do a lot of singing. Because singing is actually so much of a key for unlocking our heart. You already have worship in your heart. Many times it just needs to be unlocked. And when you come on a Sunday morning, we will start into singing. Why? Because we want your heart unlocked. And we want you to start expressing that worship that's already in your heart. And as we do that, we start to corporately shift the atmosphere. I'm glad I've got some amens this morning. Because we know what it is to experience it, but when we understand it, we start to be able to flow with it. So this has been something that's been part of our value as a church since we started the church, was that we would go after the presence. But what I'm wanting to do this morning is bring the understanding with it so that you can start to flow with it and know that your heart connecting is worship. And we can step into a service. If you were here early, we actually started with that. Then we stopped and we went into a bright song. But we actually started straight into worship. Because you can worship at any time. You don't have to go through praise. You don't have to get yourself psyched up to be able to worship. You are a worshiper if you are a believer. You may not be a singer. I know, yeah, I see some sad looking faces. Not all of us got that gift. But regardless of whether you are a singer, you are a worshiper. That was another good place to say amen. Okay. So let's have a look at the ditch. Now let's assume that going after the presence of God is driving on the left-hand side, because we are in New Zealand here. Who knows that when you're driving on a road, there are two ditches? There's one on the side that you're driving on, but there's also a ditch on the other side of the road. And the first couple of things I'm going to address really are the ditch that are on the other side of the road. And the first one is up there for you. God doesn't talk to me. I can't hear God. That's getting on the ditch on the other side. And the devil loves to get Christians in that ditch. Because so much of what we do and how we live life and how we relate to one another is all based on our ability to hear God. And to believe the lie that you can't hear God is to get your wheel in that ditch and to be going nowhere. Now, I called it a lie. Couple of reasons. Number one, the Bible says that God's sheep hear his voice. So the truth of the word says that if you're born again, you belong to God, you can hear him. There are, however, blockages that people get in their life or belief systems. Sometimes, you know, let's say a person, they're a young Christian and they decide that they feel like God's telling them to do this. And they step out and do it, and it turns into a failure. They can pick up the belief from that experience that says, I don't know how to hear God. I miss God. I didn't hear his voice. I'm a failure. And out of that belief system, they develop a culture around their life that says, God doesn't talk to me. I can't hear God. See, our experiences form a belief. And that belief, when coupled with our values, creates our culture. So if you recognize this morning that you've got that situation where you've got your wheel in that ditch and you want to go for God, but you keep on feeling like, I can't hear God. God doesn't talk to me. I would encourage you to ask God, God, what is the lie I'm believing? Or what is the experience? What's the picture? When I think of hearing God, what picture comes up on the inside? He'll show you. And he'll show you when the lie came, what the lie is, and then he'll tell you what the truth is. Jesus said, if you know the truth, it will set you free. God wants all of us to live with that knowledge that we hear him. I'm not very spiritual. Nothing happens when I'm prayed for. Again, that's on the far side ditch. Has anybody here declared over their life or had somebody else declare over them? HTR, hard to receive. Anybody had that declared over their life or said it over their life? Okay. And we're going to renounce that. When the Toronto outpouring happened, there were lots of manifestations of people laughing, doing all kinds of things. And when people were prayed for, all kinds of things were happening. People were falling on the floor. They were laughing. They were crying. They were shaking. They were doing all kinds of things. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But what happened was that there were some people who did not do that. And they believed the lie that they were hard to receive. They weren't as spiritual as others. That God touched this person and that person, but for some reason God didn't touch them. I know in my own life that was a battle I had to face for years. If you know anything about Ray, you will know that if there's a whiff of the Holy Spirit, Ray will laugh. I've seen him bounce across the floor. I've seen him end up going over backwards. I've seen him totally unable to speak for a week. And one of the battles I've had to face is, well, he's spiritual, you're not. You're hard to receive. I want to break that off people this morning. See, manifestations are people's response to the presence of God. Does God make them shake? Well, God can do anything he wants to. If he wants to make you shake, that's fine. But 90%, or I probably shouldn't put a figure on it, but most manifestations are simply the response of that person to the presence of God. Some people laugh, some people shake, some people cry, some people fall over. If it happens, it doesn't mean you're more spiritual. And if it doesn't happen, doesn't mean you're less spiritual. Bible says that we're to know it by its fruit, not its manifestation. Sometimes some of the manifestations are really unusual. And it's like, God, are you sure that's you? No, it's the person. And the person is reacting to the presence of God. Now, if you are a person who tends to have manifestations, there is nothing wrong with you. And we're going to deal with that this morning as well. But if you're a person who doesn't respond to the presence of God with laughing or bouncing or shouting or crying or anything, there's nothing wrong with you either. That was a good place for some people to say amen. Good. Okay. This one is a ditch on the side of being people who go after the presence of God. It's where people take it to extremes and say, I only listen to God. The unsaid comment is, I don't listen to you. Let me give you a couple of scriptures for this one. 1 John 2, verse 20 and 27. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. It's 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. You have an anointing on the inside, and you will be able to tell by your response on the inside whether something is of God or not. It's called the inner witness. But let's look at Galatians 2, 1 and 2. This is Paul saying, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. This is the Apostle Paul who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. And he takes what he feels God is saying and he takes it to the other believers and other leaders in Jerusalem. And he says, this is what I'm preaching. What do you think? Am I hearing God right? Now, these scriptures look like they're in contradiction. They're not. They're keeping us out of either side of the ditch. See, some people get in the ditch where they are just led by what everybody else thinks, and they're not listening to their own heart. And God wants you to know that you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside, and that when something is said to you that is of God, you will feel that witness on the inside, and you'll go, yeah, I really think that's right. Or somebody will say something and you go, it sounds good, but it just doesn't sit right. That's the first aspect, that you have an anointing and you don't need somebody else to teach you in the sense of training you to follow their voice only. Does that make sense? We're not meant to be controlled by another, but then we are not meant to be so far on the other side where we say, oh, I only listen to God. Guess what? You might hear wrong. Bible says we know in part. We know in part. And it's wisdom to take what we think is God and say to somebody else in our life that we value to their spiritual opinion and say, this is what I think. Do you think I'm hearing right? Because the problem with deception is that you don't know when you're deceived. And the way that we need to guard against deception is to have other people in our life whose opinion we value and that we can go to and we can say, what do you think? Because God is not going to tell you everything that you know directly to you. He made us to be a body. And one of the ways that he stops us from becoming puffed up and proud is he puts some of the answers that we need in the mouth of somebody else. Amen. And often it's somebody that we don't get on with all that well. Why? Because the thing that will shut us down quicker than anything is pride. So you can drive with your wheel in a ditch if you're going 10K and you're pulling off to the side of the road and you can pull right down into that ditch and you can be fine. But if you're going 100K, you will do major damage to yourself and everybody else in the car. And you don't have to look far through church history to see those who believed that they only needed to hear direct from God and they did not need to hear from others. William Branham is a classic example. That man was a brilliant prophet. He could look at you, tell you your name, your date of birth, the name of your doctor, the conditions that you are in your body. He could just prophesy down the line. That guy died in error. He died believing he was Elijah. That guy died trying to be a teacher and messed up the lives of many people. They're called Branhamites, and they're still holding to that teaching, and there's quite a lot of error in it. Why? Because he didn't think he needed to listen to anybody else. Because he was so good at hearing from God. Don't be a tragedy on the side of the road. Listen to others and weigh it against what you feel in your spirit. Okay, I'm going to finish briefly now. But just running through the priorities and practices, all your values mean that you do something. They put a priority. So let's just mention these and then I want to pray for people. Singing and expressions of worship, they're one of our priorities. I've mentioned that already. A hunger for intimacy and encounter. Seeking the flow of the Spirit during the course of the meeting. I've already mentioned that as well. And an emphasis on the prophetic. Those come out of our values. Those are the things that we will do because of what we value. But as we finish off this morning, the first thing that we're going to do is acknowledge those that have a prophetic emphasis to their life. People who have a prophetic emphasis, they're often creative, often musicians, artists. They're people who will pick up an atmosphere very quickly. If you walk into a room and you just know the atmosphere in that room, chances are that you're prophetic. Some people, it's like when they were born again spiritually, God gave them an antenna dish, you know, one of those big discs that you see. And they can pick up anything. Others of us, we feel like when we are born again, we were given with those old rabbit ears. Remember those rabbit ears on top of the TV and you tried to move them around to try and pick up a signal. There are people here who you know that you are strong picking up the voice of God. You're prophetic. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Thank you, Papa. Lord, we value these people. We value those who have said, Lord, I believe you've made me to be prophetic. Now, if you're not sure whether you should be standing, all of us can be prophetic. So in a sense, all of us can stand. So if you're not sure whether you should be standing, it's okay to stand. But Father, we want to say over these people that we recognize and we value their gift. Father, we thank you that the gift that you have given them isn't for them. It's for the body. And Father, I thank you for an even greater release of the prophetic in the name of Jesus. If you have had words spoken over your life that you are too much, you're too intense, you shouldn't be shaking or laughing or whatever, I want you to stay standing. The rest can sit down. Father, I thank you for these ones right now. If you're close to them, just extend your hand to them. Father, I thank you for liberty. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I pray that you'll bust off them everything that says that they're not good enough, that they're too much, that they're too intense, that they're silly, that they're goofy. Lord, we break those words in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want you to pray after me and say, Jesus, I renounce the lie that I'm too much. Jesus, what's the truth? Let the Lord tell you. Okay, what I'm going to do now is that if you have felt that you cannot feel God's presence or you don't hear easily from God, I want you to put your hand up. Okay? No, don't sit down yet. The ones who are standing up, I want you to go to the people that have their hand up, because you have a gift that they need. Your gift isn't for you, your gift is for them. So I want you, the ones that have been standing, that are now free to be them, go and find somebody that has their hand up. And when you have somebody with you with their hand on your shoulder, you can bring your hand down. Okay. Okay, Jeremy, come down the front here. Mumpreet, I think I saw you with your hand up too, did I? Come on down the front here. John, I'm going to have to send somebody to you. Okay, Tom Bailey, go pray for John. I'm going to close the meeting now, but you guys who have the presence of God as something that you so easily carry, I want you to release that over the person you are praying for. And in a couple of minutes, you who are being prayed for, I want you to give feedback And tell the person who's praying for you what you feel. Expect God to touch you in some way. It may be words, it may be thoughts, it may be a feeling.